Issues, etc. returned to the air on June 30th after being canceled by the previous leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod during Holy Week of 2008 for a special 10-year anniversary donation of $100 or more. We'll send you a CD of Issues, etc. listeners' top 12 hymns. You can make an anniversary gift online at issuesetc.org or by check. Make your check payable to Issues, etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. We're coming to you live on this Friday. It's the 24th of August. We've come to the end of the broadcast week, so it's time to play Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We've gone back through this week's Issues, Etc. audio, and we have, over the course of the week, been listening for a soundbite here and there. We found four, one from Pastor Hans Feeney, one from Jeff Jacoby, one from Bill McKeever, and one from Pastor Stephen Parks. The subjects are diverse. That's why we like to play a little smattering of what you might hear through the course of a week here on Issues, Etc. But you have only one responsibility when we play Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week, and that is to listen and to vote for one of them to be the Soundbite of the Week. You vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet @issuesetc, or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. The listener with the best vote gets the LPR bundle package. That's an I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues, Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, and notepad. And phone call voters get to vote first. 1-877-623-MY-IE. Here's soundbite number one. It comes from Pastor Hans Feeney on how atheists dismiss the divine.
It's a great example of the sort of slightly clever games that atheists like to play, where they create kind of a scenario where it's a heads I win, tails you lose kind of a situation. So basically the kind of the atheist mindset here is that the reason people hunger for gods and the reason they hunger to believe in some kind of higher power is because there are things in this world that they can't explain. And because they can't explain things, they figure that there must be some sort of transcendent being above them that is sort of existing in this mystery sphere. And so the idea is basically that's kind of what we're looking for with God, is the idea that there's something kind of beyond us, but that if the thing that's beyond us comes near, then somehow that means that it's no longer God. So it's basically, the trick is this: it's that if we can't explain something divine, it's not real. And if we can explain it, therefore it's not divine. So if God is transcendent, he's not real, because transcendent things are just our hopes and our dreams and our trying to make sense and to bring order to the universe. And if God is immanent, if he's near, if the mystery becomes manifest among us, then it therefore can't be God. So either way, they win the scenario. Either there is no God far above us, or the God who has come near to us by virtue of his nearness can't be God.
That is soundbite number one, Pastor Hans Feeney, on how atheists dismiss the divine. If you'd like it to be soundbite of the week, it needs your vote, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. You can vote by sending us an email as well, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet @issuesetc, and at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Soundbite number two this week comes from Jeff Jacoby of the Boston Globe. He is responding to Chelsea Clinton's economic argument for Roe v. Wade.
It is not a disconnected fact that American women entering the labor force from 1970 to 2009 added $3.5 trillion to our economy. That is not disconnected from the fact that Roe became the law of the land in January of 1973.
The costs to the economy from the loss of all those lives — there have been 60 million legal abortions in this country since 1973. If you take the American GDP, the U.S. economic output, and you divide it by every person in the workplace, you get an average contribution to the U.S. economy currently, in current dollars, of about $125,000. That's a lot of money per person, and when you multiply that by the tens of millions of people who presumably would have been born or might have been born had it not been for Roe versus Wade, you're talking tens of trillions of dollars in national wealth that simply never got created. The average American pays about $10,000 in taxes at all levels. Think how many billions or trillions of dollars governments would have had to spend to help care for people who need help. She's completely got it backwards. The U.S. economy hasn't blossomed because of Roe versus Wade. It has suffered. It has been hobbled. We don't necessarily see it because we're talking about the contributions of people who were never born. But it doesn't take a lot of speculation to imagine what those people would have contributed if they had survived birth and been able to become productive American citizens.
That is soundbite number two, Jeff Jacoby, responding to Chelsea Clinton's economic argument for Roe v. Wade. If you'd like to vote for that soundbite on this Friday afternoon, 1-877-623-6943. Our Facebook fan page, we've left space there for you to vote, facebook.com/issuesetc. Send us a tweet with your vote at issuesetc or via email talkback@issuesetc.org. Soundbite number three this week comes from Bill McKeever. We were talking about why the Mormons are nervous about their nickname Mormon and don't want to be referred to as the LDS anymore. Here's Bill explaining why Mormons don't want to be called Mormons.
They want to be known as Christian, and not just any type or brand of Christian. They are the only true Christians on the face of the earth. I don't think the Mormon Church is going to be happy until everyone recognizes them as such. Now, of course, there's a lot of us stubborn evangelicals out there that certainly don't want to give them that because that name is very special to us as well. And so they want very much to have our approval, I think, sometimes, or they want very much to be underneath that tent or underneath that umbrella of Christianity. But the problem for us is the Mormon Church denies or distorts a lot of these basic teachings that have always made Christians what they are. And so to give them that title would really be a slap in our own faces and an admission, in the eyes of the Latter-day Saints, you might say, that we really are part of the great apostasy because we're recognizing them as, for instance, the restored Church of Jesus Christ, which, of course, they aren't. There's no need for a restored Church of Jesus Christ.
That's soundbite number three, Bill McKeever, on why the Mormons don't want to be called the Mormons anymore. If you'd like to vote for that one, 1-877-623-6943. Phone call voters get to vote first. Send us an email with your vote, talkback@issuesetc.org. Vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, or just send us a tweet at @issuesetc. Get ready to vote because after we play the fourth soundbite, we'll take a break and start taking your phone calls, your email, your tweets, and we'll be checking our Facebook fan page for your votes there as well. Soundbite number four is from Pastor Stephen Parks, answering the question, was Scripture alone or other Reformation truths, were they unknown before the Reformation?
So there are a great number of things that, and boasts that are often made in that regard. People say, well, nobody taught sola scriptura before the 16th century. Nobody taught the sole sufficiency of Scripture or the clarity of Scripture before the 16th century and so forth. And something that comes along that, for me, is always a bit of a puzzlement, because when you hear somebody say something like that, they set themselves up as an authority, at least to a certain degree, as if they've read every church father that has ever put pen to paper, or that at least has been preserved until now. And I just don't know that that's possible for any one human being to do. So I find it hard to believe when someone says that, because what they're really saying is the few select quotes that I've looked at haven't said anything about sola scriptura. However, when you read the fathers in their original context, you find that they're not saying anything different than what the reformers were saying. They're saying, yes, of course there is a tradition of the church, and in some senses that tradition can even be normative. However, the sole infallible norm of all things is Scripture itself. Why? Because Scripture itself is the voice of God, whereas tradition doesn't occupy that exact same kind of role within the church. Yes, it helps us to pass the faith on from generation to generation. It helps us to transmit it to folks and so forth, and all of that's wonderful, insofar as it does not contradict the sole infallible rule of faith, which is Holy Scripture itself.
That is soundbite number four on this Friday afternoon. Pastor Steve Parks, was Scripture alone unknown before the Reformation? Those are the four soundbites. Now you've heard them. Now it's your turn to give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, and vote for one of them to be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You can also send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. We'd like to know who you are, where you're listening, and why you're voting for the soundbite you're voting for. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E.
Concordia University Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're committed to increasing LCMS faculty and staff members. This is Dr. Daniel Gard, president of Concordia University Chicago. If you are a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod with excellent professional credentials, please consider applying for our faculty or staff family. Current openings are posted at cuchicago.edu/HR.
When you pray, give us this day our daily bread. What do you mean by daily bread? What do you really need to live? If you've ever puzzled over questions like these, you won't want to miss the August issue of The Lutheran Witness, with articles on downsizing, giving, and yes, what we mean by our daily bread. You're sure to come away with a more biblical view of wealth and poverty, possessions and generosity. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Often imitated, never equaled. You're listening to Issues Etc. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkins. We're coming to you live on this Friday, August the 24th. We're playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We have played the four soundbites for you. Soundbite number one, Pastor Hans Feeney on how atheists dismiss the divine. Soundbite number two, Jeff Jacoby responding to Chelsea Clinton's economic argument for Roe v. Wade. Soundbite number three, Bill McKeever on why Mormons don't want to be called Mormons. And soundbite number four, Pastor Steve Parks with Scripture Alone Unknown Before the Reformation. Now it's your turn. You can vote for any of those four sound bites. Your reasons are your own, but we'd like to know the reason as well. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us that tweet at issuesetc or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Let's begin with a vote from the Issues Etc. comment line. Joe in West Fargo, North Dakota.
My vote is for Bill McKeever. Why Mormons don't want to be called Mormons. Bill hit it right on the head. Mormons want to profess a falsehood as truth. Chris Roseboro would describe this as a false narrative. And it's why we as Christians need to gently and lovingly witness Christ crucified to our Mormon neighbors. Keep up the good work. Bye.
Joe, thanks for your vote, and thanks for listening in North Dakota. Susan listens in McKinley, Texas, voting for soundbite number two, Jeff Jacoby, responding to Chelsea Clinton's economic argument for Roe. All these soundbites are true and notable. I'm choosing this one because it's one more secular reason for arguing against abortion, and especially Roe v. Wade. If you can't get anywhere on moral grounds, then perhaps you might persuade someone on the economic matters. Thank you very much, Susan, and for listening in Texas. Steve listens in Morgan Hill, California. Love your show, he says. I'm voting for soundbite number two, Jeff Jacoby. It made me sick to hear Clinton's position about how abortions may have contributed to the economy. I was glad to hear Mr. Jacoby's rebuttal of, in the terms of the economic impact, but even more impactful is the loss of life, which we cannot put a price tag on. You are quite right, Steve, and thanks for listening in California. Matthew says, I have to vote for the first soundbite, Pastor Hans Feeney, on how atheists dismiss the divine. And a corollary that always occurs to me is from science. When science taught that matter couldn't be created from nothing, God wasn't possible. Now that science teaches that the entire universe came from nothing, God is no longer necessary. Science wins. Either way, smartest listeners in radio. Matthew, thank you very much. Let's talk with Tessie in Waterloo, Illinois. Hi, Tessie.
Hi. I'm voting for soundbite number two. And the reason I'm voting for it is because I volunteered at Pregnancy Resource Center. And it's always nice to have another reason why suggesting to a gal that she carry her baby to term is a good choice to make. Thank you.
Thank you, Tessie, and thanks for listening in my hometown. Let's see what Gary in Beloit, Wisconsin has to say. He says, I'm voting for soundbite number one, Pastor Hans Feeney, how atheists dismiss the divine, because it makes you think of Jesus saying, we played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn. Gary, thanks for listening in Wisconsin. In Lindale, Texas, Joy says, Bill McKeever's soundbite encourages Christians to hold fast to Christ as revealed in Holy Scripture and not to give the LDS the inclusion they seek. Thanks, Joy. Rebecca, Andrew, and Abigail, a trio of voters in California, they say, my kids and I were all in the kitchen mid-morning when the Issues app told me that it was time to vote for soundbite of the week. We all listened together, and as my 14-year-old put it, I thought Pastor Feeney very logically revealed the faultiness of the atheists' arguments and successfully picked them apart. His words, but his sister and I agree. Three votes for soundbite number one. Thank you very much. And thanks for listening out in California. Rebecca, Andrew, and Abigail. Carrie listens in Alexandria, Minnesota. I agree with Jeff Jacoby that Chelsea Clinton has it completely backwards. Not only economic loss has happened, but we are missing so many people that would be caregivers for us boomers as we age. They are not here. They're also not here to contribute to Social Security and to Medicare and pay taxes either. The loss because these poor babies were killed is enormous and not just economically. Carrie, thank you very much for your thoughts as well. Jack listens in Lancaster, Ohio. I vote for the Feeney clip. He explains the catch-22 the atheist tries to place the Christian in, and when they argue that there is no God, his thoughts will help me formulate ways to attempt to witness to atheism. Jack, thanks for listening in Ohio. Jason listens in Portage, Michigan. I can't imagine the pilgrims at Plymouth, after losing more than 40% of their population that first winter, considering the deaths of their family members a great boon to their economic prosperity. Sure, they no longer had to spend time caring for those ill spouses or children once they passed away, and this might have given some of the survivors additional time for productive tasks, but it doesn't logically follow that the community was better off or more prosperous with so many loved ones and fellow laborers gone. Miss Clinton's opinions about the benefits of large-scale abortion are ludicrous. Jason, thank you very much for listening in Michigan. Brad's voting for soundbite number four. No matter the argument, no matter the issue, a clear resolution can only be achieved through reliance on Scripture alone. It is astounding how many arguments are created, issues debated in an attempt to distance them from Scripture, only to be brought back to the source of the argument or issue, Scripture itself. Thank you very much, Brad. According to your votes this week, soundbite of the week is going to be soundbite number one. It's Pastor Hans Feeney on how atheists dismiss the divine. Let's listen to it one more time.
Great example of the sort of slightly clever games that atheists like to play, where they create kind of a scenario where it's a heads I win, tails you lose kind of a situation. So basically the kind of the atheist mindset here is that the reason people hunger for gods and the reason they hunger to believe in some kind of higher power is because there are things in this world that they can't explain. And because they can't explain things, they figure that there must be some sort of transcendent being above them that is sort of existing in this mystery sphere. And so the idea is basically that's kind of what we're looking for with God, is the idea that there's something kind of beyond us, but that if the thing that's beyond us comes near, then somehow that means that it's no longer God. So it's basically, the trick is this, it's that if we can't explain something divine, it's not real. And if we can explain it, therefore it's not divine. So if God is transcendent, he's not real, because transcendent things are just our hopes and our dreams and our trying to make sense and to bring order to the universe. And if God is immanent, if he's near, if the mystery becomes manifest among us, then it therefore can't be God. So either way, they win the scenario. Either there is no God far above us, or the God who has come near to us by virtue of his nearness can't be God.
That's the winner of Soundbite of the Week this week. Soundbite number one, Pastor Hans Feeney, How Atheists Dismiss the Divine. Thanks to everybody who voted for Soundbite of the Week. The LPR bundle package, or I should say packages, are going to Rebecca, Andrew, and Abigail, who voted from California. Thank you very much for your votes as well. Send those shirt sizes and mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org. Folks, your children, your grandchildren, your godchildren, they're returning to college after the summer break. Be sure to tell them about LCMSU, where they'll be connected to other Lutheran students and to faithful Lutheran congregations. Find out more at lcms.org/LCMSU. That's lcms.org/LCMSU. Next week on Issues Etc., we'll get Katie Schuerman's reaction to a Washington Post column called Reinventing Religion with Romance Novels. We'll continue our Classroom Apologetics series talking with Dr. Brad Burgess about Political Science 101, and we'll get a biography of St. Augustine. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you Monday. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Cradled in historic Perry County, Missouri, the manger of the Missouri Synod, Emmanuel Lutheran Church at 453 Northwest Street in Perryville proclaims God's Word and celebrates His Supper on Saturdays at 5:30 and Sundays at 7:30 and 10 using the church's liturgy contained in Lutheran Service Book, enriched with ancient and modern hymns. For more information, call 573-547-8317 or visit www.emmanuel-perryville.org.